So much, Greg. We are in a series of studies that involve the foundations of our faith. And the whole thing started as one man on the street asked me these questions. He said, Pastor, what do Christians believe? And I said, I thank you. You just give me about 8 or 10 sermons in my mind. I go home, I jot down that question at my desk. And I said, if you listen over the airways, you will have a briefing of what we Christians believe. And we start with the Bible, because everything starts with the Bible. If you do not have that study, we provide for you a free DVD and a CD and provide for you the outline. This is the fundamental of Christianity. This book that I hold in my hand and you have right there on the pew. Then we study our God, and we study our God in a different category. We study as God as personal. No God in the universe, but God in my life, and how Thomas taught us about that. Then we study about the Lord Jesus, who is God himself, last Sunday. And I'm going to today bring to your attention the study on the Holy Spirit. And let's see if we can, in these brief 35 minutes, convey to you, if I can convey to you what the Bible, some selected passages of the Bible that I have taken, so that you understand what the Holy Spirit really is and what he is able to do as God, third person of the Trinity. I'm using the Bible that is in the pew, and for your advantage, I give you the page number as we go to hundreds of scriptures this morning, so that you quickly see it, because I like you to see it. It's not my word, it's the word of God that really counts. And I'm going to divide the thoughts of teaching about the Holy Spirit in this way. I want to talk to you about the personality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we're going to see some symptoms of the Holy Spirit as a person in the Bible. We're going to see the deity of the Holy Spirit as expressed in the Scripture. Then we're going to see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and then the Holy Spirit in the church, and then the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. And so I think I cover all angles that you can see the Holy Spirit here and there, to let you know that he's not a ghost on the sky moving around, but he is God himself working in the hearts of people. So we're going to start first with the personality of the Holy Spirit. If you go in your Bible to the Gospel of John in chapter 14 and in verse 26, John Gospel chapter 14, in verse 26, it's in page 1170, the Holy Spirit has intelligence like a human being. And John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit has intelligence. He learned and he teaches. So that's the attribute of a personhood. Now, the Holy Spirit has emotions. If you move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 1275, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 1275, the Holy Spirit has emotions like a human being. The Bible said here in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In the original, the explanation is a little easier to understand. Make no sorrowful the Holy Spirit. Make no sorrowful. And that's another expression of humanity. Then if you go back to John chapter 15 in your Bible, in verse 26, page 1171, if you go back to that text that we use in John chapter 15, you're going to see in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit, when the writer refers to, he used the Holy Spirit with to appoint to the Holy Spirit as a personal pronoun, not as an it. Look at with me in verse 26, chapter 15. But when the Holy, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father. Now look at here. He, no it, he shall. So refers, when the writer of the scripture put things together, and these are the words of Jesus, he referred to the Holy Spirit as a person. And then in the passage that our brother have read for us in the Gospel of Matthew, in page 1077, page chapter 28, and then on verse 19, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19, the Holy Spirit is distinguished there from the Father and from Jesus Christ as another person. Let me read it to you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so you have the three persons of the Trinity distinguished between them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit and his personality is distinguished from the Father. Now, it's very hard sometimes to understand God in three and one. It's very difficult. If you don't understand it, I know it's difficult. But when referred to the Holy Spirit, he's nothing less than a person. And because it's very important at this point, because he's going to become active as a person in the life of the believer. So the personality of the Holy Spirit is well explained in the Bible, and there are hundreds of other passages that clarify. But he has intelligence, remember that? He has emotion. He is referred to when somebody talks about the Holy Spirit as he, a personal pronoun. And when all the Trinity is put together, he is different than the Father and different than the Son. Now, the deity of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a passage of the scripture I want you to turn on. It's in the gospel, it's in the book of Acts. And it's in Acts, in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And it's a passage that certainly is going to take a good observation to see the play of words that the writer used here. The first passage that I selected to explain to you, and the one who really satisfied my heart. You know, you read some scripture sometimes, and you say these and these, but you read one scripture, and you say, boy, that's good. That's wonderful. And this is in a scripture that satisfied my heart. I will have not to move anymore from there, but for your sake, I will look in another scriptures. But this one really satisfied my heart. It's because the Spirit is called God in the Scripture. All right? Now look with me. I'm going to read carefully the book of Acts, chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 3. And there is a play of words, and in that play of words, you will see how the Bible, how the Bible expresses that the Holy Spirit is God. I read the Scripture then in Acts chapter 5, verse 2. And kept back, let me read verse 1 so you get a little bit of the background. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They sold a house. When you sell your house, you don't have to give the money to the church. The Bible doesn't say you have to give the money to the church. The Bible doesn't say you have to give anything to the church. All right? So, but these people want to show up themselves. And look at verse 2. And kept back part of the price, his wife also, being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, the first statement, you lie to the Holy Spirit. And keep back part of the price of the land. He said, oh, I sold my house, and here is all the money. And there was a lie. And so Peter is saying to him, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Now look at in verse 4. While it remains, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived these things in thy heart? Thou hast no lie unto man, but unto God. You see it? Peter, in verse 3, he said, you lie to the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, said the conclusion is, you don't have to give the church a penny, but you want to show up. And then you say, I give all, and you didn't. You lied to God. And so the Bible interchanged the word Holy Spirit with God. You see it? It is in the mechanism of the writing, but it's there. The Bible called the Holy Spirit God. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, he lied actually to God. Very important. Now, the Spirit in 2 Corinthians, if you move your Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:17, page 1257, 2 Corinthians 3:17, page 1257, the Spirit is called Lord, like Jesus is called Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible says. Now the Lord is that Spirit. You see that? Now the Lord is that Spirit. That word Lord is used for Jesus. All right? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is called Lord in the Bible. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say the Lord Holy Spirit. It is the same. Now, the Holy Spirit is identified with God. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, if you move your Bible just a little bit left, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and in verse 12, page 1240. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. You know this? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God. And so the Bible identifies the Holy Spirit with God. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have nothing less than God. And that's important to know so that people do not think that we have three gods. We only have one, and this God is split himself in three different persons and moving. I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. It's still the same person, but develops in a different condition, and that's how the Holy Spirit is. Now, some people, and I know this, and in our Spanish class today was mentioned, that some people think that the Old Testament had nothing to do with the New Testament. That is an ignorance about the Scripture. That's all. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I like to work in that fashion. And the Holy Spirit has worked in the Old Testament in a marvelous way, and is developed a great influence. I'm going to mention one so that you know those who believe in evolution is destroyed in one text of the Bible. Go with me to Genesis. In my notes here, I have a wrong scripture, so I don't want you to look on it. In that one, I have a different reference scripture. But in Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to look in verse 1 and in verse 2, how the Holy Spirit from the very beginning has worked in the Old Testament and has placed this. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we all understand that and so on. But in verse 2, the Bible tells you the work of the Holy Spirit. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the depth. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, remember the Spirit of God is another name for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, the Holy Spirit was in control of the universe. It's the mechanism that controls the entire universe. Is the mechanism that put the whole area together. It's the mechanism that in this universe, all is done in coordination. The Father designed, the Son created, and the Holy Spirit the contractor. Is that way. The Father is the owner. Jesus is called in the Bible the architect, and the Holy Spirit is the contractor. It's the one who take actions and build things on and on and on. And everything is done by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one. It's so much work the Holy Spirit did that in verse 3, the Bible said, and God said, let there light. Let there be light, and there was light. In other words, the Holy Spirit was there, setting upon the earth, and he was the one who moved on and on and on and moved into the whole creation in a marvelous way, doing something that is so important, the distribution of forces, the relationship of the universe. Everything was under the control. And God, our creator, designed. The Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus was the architect that put all the plan together, but the Holy Spirit was a contractor that was putting everything to happen. The action happened because the Holy Spirit moves on. Now, some people said, how God created the plants, how God created the animals. Well, the Holy Spirit was the one, when God gave the word, the word include, when God said, let the plants be, then the Holy Spirit was the one who created. How, I don't know, but God, in a perfect coordination, he created the whole thing, and so he was tremendously involved in the Old Testament in every detail of the universe. And every detail the universe have, everything was involved. Now, there are two areas that I'm really serious about it, and I want you to learn. One is the area of the Holy Spirit in the church, and the other is the area of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Very important. And when I mean the church, I do not mean this local church here. I mean the church of the living God, all right? When you become a Christian. First and most, I'm going to show you a verse in the Bible. It's not in the notes, but it's in Acts chapter 11. I'll tell you the page in a minute. Acts chapter 11, and it's in verse 26, and it's in page 1196, page 1196. 96. I want to show you a text that is from a time I was 18, 19 years old. I kept it in my heart as a dream of my life. Look at here. The Bible relates when Paul was found and brought to the church. And the Bible said when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first, where? In Antioch. The disciples were not called Baptists, they were not called Pentecostals, they were not called Presbyterians, they were called Christians. Now, that's an Aramaic word. Yan in Arab means the family of, and before Yan, you put the root. And so they were with Christo, Yan is the word that you pronounce it, Christ, the family of Christ. The disciples were called the family of Christ. So the church is the family of God. All right? Now, how do I become part of the church? I mean, not this local church. You fill some papers here and we ask you some questions, you become part of the church. I mean, the real church. I mean, the place that you cannot fool anybody. The place that you can stand and God is over there and is looking to you. And he knows what's in your heart. How do you become part of the church? That's not a great question. It is. And I have the solution here for you, or at least I have the instruction from God, the Holy Spirit in the church, and then the Holy Spirit in you, and a believer. All right? Let's study this. The Holy Spirit in the church. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and page 1249, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 13, page 1249, then you have there the clue, how do you become part of the church of the living God? The Bible said, for by one Spirit, capital S, one Spirit, are we all baptized into the body, placed into the body. Presbyterians will read, washed into the body, all right? Whether we be Jew or Gentile, there is no difference. The world and the Bible is divided in two, not between Japanese, Chinese, and European. The Bible is divided in two, Jew or Gentile, all right? And so the Bible says here that whether you be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that brings you into the church. It's the Holy Spirit that plays you into the church. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you in. Now, the question is how? How the Holy Spirit does it, all right? It's not in the notes, but I'll tell you. John chapter 16, all right? Let's go to John Gospel, chapter 16. I'll tell you the page in a minute. Page 1171. 1171, all right? John chapter 16. This is how the Holy Spirit plays you into the body of Christ, into the family of Christ. The Bible, Jesus is talking and is talking to the disciples. He's been talking from chapter 13 on that he's going to leave them. And verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Remember, we read that. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not in me. As you and I start our life as unbelievers, nobody start life being believer. We start the life as unbelievers. As you read the scripture and you read about Jesus, you think that's wrong, that that's a dream, that that's a story. Who knows how many suppositions you and I can have when we start reading the Bible. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit through the scripture to lead you. And there is a moment that you read again, and there is a moment you say, I want to read again, and it sounds good. And there is another moment, and there is a moment in which that really clicks into your life. So I wonder how many people are Christian, you know, because it takes the Holy Spirit to become a Christian. Now, let me show you when that happened. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, and that is on the right on your Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, and page 1272, Ephesians chapter 1, page 1272, the Bible tells you exactly the time when the Holy Spirit then baptized you into the body. Look at what the Bible said. In one verse, in verse 13, the Bible tells you the secret of the gospel. In whom, said the Apostle Paul, ye also trust after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard the word of truth. No, you don't hear stories. You don't hear lyrics from music. You heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel. You need to hear the gospel. First thing that happened is you need to hear the gospel. You cannot become part of the church of God unless you read the scripture. Okay, verse 13. You read the gospel of your salvation, said, in whom, said verse 13, also after ye believe. You need to come to that moment where you said, that is truth. You believe. The convicting power, remember what we read in John? As you read the gospel, the Holy Spirit, in a mysterious way, in a way that you and I cannot explain it, works in your mind and heart and convicts you. And then you believe. And look at what happened after you believe. He said, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Once you become a believer through the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit seals you and takes residency in your life. Amazing. Amazing. You become controlled by the Holy Spirit. You no longer deny the scripture or deny the Lord. You have not the Spirit of God. If you deny the Lord Jesus, you have not the Holy Spirit. If you really, you become addicted to a church, you become a part of a church, the church becomes a social activity to you, but a believer believes, and a believer is led by the Spirit of God, period. Now, there is a parenthesis here. We read it already, but I want to read it again. Unfortunately, it is unfortunate. When you go to the doctor for some treatment, he said, well, take this medicine. Oh, good. The medicine, I do this, buy B, C, D, D. Oh, good. You feel happy about it. Then the doctor said, unfortunately, they have some symptoms. And so you got the Holy Spirit, but you're still you on this earth. And you got some symptoms. Look at Ephesians. You are in Ephesians 1. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Look at what you and I can do to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. The Bible said, and grieve not or sorrow not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. That word sorrow, that word grieve, is a very strong word in the original language. You know, when you buy a Coca-Cola and you drink your Coca-Cola and you finish, now you're going to resell that can, you're going to do it, all right? So you put it on the floor and you smash it down so you get a big pile that was 80 cents a pound. It's very good. So you smash it down, you put it in a can. Now that's the word grieve. You smash down the Holy Spirit like that, and then I become afraid when I know the meaning of the word. God. I ask myself, God, why I had that power? It scared you and me. The voice of the Spirit through the Bible said, A, B, C, and then you don't do it. You and I don't do it. Because you have the power in your nature, in your human nature, to say, no, no. You know, young people, when I tell you, you marry a believer, and you disobey me, you just need that. Either you are not a believer, or you smash the Holy Spirit like this, so that the Holy Spirit is suppressed. When the Bible says, husband, love your wife, and you don't, then it's like you're smashing the Holy Spirit. All right? Wife, respect your husband, and you don't, you smash the Holy Spirit in that way. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, period. And you don't, you smash the Holy Spirit in that way. I don't know why God, but you see, if we say we believe in God, we need to love God. And to love God is to obey him. And so here is, the Holy Spirit plays you into the church. And it's so important. I make a lot of point on this, but it's a lot of time on this, but it's important. The Holy Spirit plays you into the church. Once you are in the church, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you know God, and you grow in grace, we say in the church. You grow in the knowledge of God, and you correct your life. You start making corrections in your life. All right? You know, when you fly in the sky, you said, oh, I'm going to have 2 hours to this place. But the pilot listened to the tower's control, and the weather changed. And so he made corrections in his plan, and he typed to the tower control the new plan, and they typed back, and he's just making all corrections. You don't know, you are sitting there over there. He takes a little 20 more minutes because he made some corrections to protect himself from wind or whatever is. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings you into the church. And when you are in the church, you're never going to get out because he brought in. But my question is, does the Holy Spirit brought you in? That's the question. Now, the Holy Spirit appoints leaders also. In chapter 20, on the book of Acts, and in verse 28, we have Paul saying goodbye to the church that he pastored for 2 years, the church of Ephesus. And in chapter 20 and in verse 28, is in page 1210. Look at what he says. He said, he is talking to the elders of the church, to the pastors. Said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, hath made you bishops. See, a pastor is made in seminary, but how many pastors are made by the Holy Spirit? That's my question. We were 90 when we started in the seminary, one of the top seminaries in San Francisco. 13 of us in, and about 3 of us follow the ministry. 3 of us. And one fellow that I trained, the son of a super engineer, physics engineer, and from Berkeley, that now is a pastor in Arizona. That's how far I know. The rest, they went after different areas because there were no call. This is not an easy job. It's the worst job you can ever have because people are ungrateful. But you do the ministry looking up and know you're looking down. You examine yourself before God and say, do I do the right thing or not before God? See, God is my boss. I'm your servant. But God is my boss. And so this is what the apostle said. Take care of yourself. Be careful yourself, pastors, because the Holy Spirit has made you pastors. All right? Now, next one, the Holy Spirit provides power for the ministry. If you go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, page 12, 57, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, 57, the Holy Spirit provides power for the ministry. Chapter 3 and verse 6, who also have made us able ministries of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. In other words, the pastor, it doesn't matter how many doctor's degree he has, the only ability he has to preach and to do it is by the Spirit of God. A school give you a lot of knowledge and give you a lot of background and hopefully help you not to make errors as you teach. But the one who give you the power to preach, the one that give you the gift to put things together and convey to the congregation is the Holy Spirit. So it's no merit of me, it's no merit than anybody. It's the Spirit of God who has given some gift to some people so that they can convey the Word of God properly. That's what it is. So the Spirit in the church acts fantastic, plays you into the church, convicts you of sin. As you pass a tract, you wonder what that person will do, and carry a New Testament or something in your pocket. So when they ask you a question, you open the New Testament and you show the answer in the Bible to that person. It's very, very, very important. And now the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Now, in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, you see a lot of action of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 and in verse 31. Page 1185, the reality of the fullness of the Spirit. And when they had prayed, this is another text that when I was young, maybe 18, 19, 20 years old, impressed my life, and I have a group of young people praying with me all the time. I'm very convinced that prayer does it. And here it is, verse 31, and when they as the church have prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. It's not just a metaphorical way of a speech of Dr. Luke. The writer is Dr. Luke. You know, a doctor doesn't write metaphorical things. A doctor knows that 1 + 1 = 2 and doesn't move from there. A doctor says you have fever, then you have an infection. You know, doctors don't play around. And here's what it is. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder, I said, Lord, if that can happen again to us when we pray on Wednesday night. I wonder if when we are all nailed down in these pews, the Holy Spirit will come and shake all of us so that we become loyal to Him and faithful to Him and a shining glory for Jesus so that America come back to the Lord. It's not going to come back by electing a politician in power. No, it's going to come back by you. By you and I praying and changing our life and become solid in the gospel. And this is a reality. This is no story. In the book of Acts 4:31. This has not happened only in chapter 2. It happened in Acts 4. And I said, Lord, it happened to them. I want it to happen to me. I want to experience this power. This power that controls my life. And then my wife will be happy. I'll be a better husband. And then you will be happy. I'll be a better pastor. That's what it is. Now, if you want to check up how spiritual are you, there is a checkup in the Bible. Right here in Galatians chapter 5. These are the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Page 1270. Galatians chapter 5 and page 1270. Look at what the fruit of the Spirit are. Verse chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what is the first fruit? Love. You know, love. You don't have too many, and now they are coming in San Francisco, but I went in Central America to evangelize, and you walk in the mall, and there are people begging. When you give something to a beggar, that is love, because you don't expect anything back. You give a dollar, you don't expect that the guy say, well, next week I want to pass by, give me the dollar back. You don't say that. You just give a dollar, right? Well, that's love. You give without requesting, see? Joy. In America, that we have everything you dream of. Joy. All right? It's just beautiful. peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such a sin there is no law. Is any of those things in you? Is any of those things in you? You know, people say, you're a happy man. Latins are happy people. No, it has nothing to do with being Latin. You are happy because you know your life is in the hands of God. You know that, you know, I was in the hospital not too long ago, just for one night examination. And everybody come in, even the chaplain come in to talk to you. And they see you smiling. And say, what's your problem? I got no problem. The problem is over there. They're trying to find out what is my problem. But I don't have no problem. I say, the problem is on the nurse. It's on the check-in. But I know, I said to the chaplain, if I depart tonight, I be in heaven. Amen. Immediately. So what is my problem? No, I have no problem. And so, you know, peace. Peace is a great, produce conviction when you have peace and love and gentleness. Never say, this is the last time I help somebody. Never say that. You become more intelligent as you help people who are stubborn, that's all. But you keep on helping because you have love. Imagine God saying, well, if you don't believe today, I never talk to you anymore. You and I will never be believers, all right? Okay, now, what is the manifestation of the Spirit? In 1 Corinthians, these are passages that the church has deal with and so on. But here is very easy. In 1 Corinthians, in page 1249, it's very, very easy. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he said, now concerning a spiritual gift, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. And so he expressed it there. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, it says, is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, there is no exception of person. Oh, God give the Spirit to this and not to this. God give it to every man that requests it. Like I'm begging the power in prayer that when we pray, something will happen in our church and the thing will change. And so here, God is available. He said, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. People that you go to and you talk to and they share in the scripture, they give you the light. All right, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. People say, well, you know, I have these. They say, oh, it's right here in the Bible. And they tell you exactly what it is. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. People who pray and things happen. All right? To another, the prophecy. People who knows how to teach and preach. To another, discerning of the Spirit. Somebody who look on it and say, something is wrong with that person. Watch out with those people who have that gift. Because they really know what it is. All right. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, people who speak all kinds of language. Very, very easy. Very easy. The word tongue is the same word glossa in Greek, which is the word described for poetry. To another, the interpretation of tongues. In other words, to be understanding what other people said. But all these work that one and the self same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body being Christ. And so there is the fact that you have one gift, that makes you better than the other that has another gift. We are all the same, but we are gifted by God in a marvelous way. So if I close properly, I should go to Romans and ask the question, Romans 8 and verse 15, page 1230, and ask you a question that you need to answer in your heart. We all come to church, and we all claim to be Christians. But here's a question I'm going to ask you after I read Romans 8, 15, and page 1230. The Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have received the spirit of adoption. Are you aware that you have the Spirit of God in you? Because without the Spirit of God, there is failure in our life. We try to do things that never happen. Without the Spirit of God, you are not in the body of Christ. And people say, oh, that's very critical. Well, you cannot say, I believe. The Holy Spirit inside has to move you to say, I believe. And you believe for a reason. And every one of us have a different reason why we believe, because the Holy Spirit has led you in that way. So I want you to examine yourself. I want you to really look into your life. I want you really think carefully and see if that Holy Spirit of God has led you to believe. You study the Bible a lot. You read the Bible a lot. What do you believe? Because the Bible leads you right on. The Bible said, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together. So this church should be four times the size it is today if people will be led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible said they all came together for prayer. The Wednesday night, we'll be here and we'll need, like when I was in Nicaragua under distress. I don't think America has a reality, the Christians in America. In Nicaragua under Ortega, there were 2,000 people in prayer meeting. That's why Ortega only lasted 2 years, because the people pray. There were people making line. I was there with my wife. I was with soldiers all around, and we prayed for 1 hour. Next, please. And the whole day, the church praying. In 2 years, the government changed without a bullet. The Spirit of God. I saw the Spirit of God. May God lead this church to really search your heart and say, God, lead us by your Spirit. Lead us with your Spirit so that we believe you. And miracle after miracle will happen in our life. And power after power. We try to buy a property. We try to do this. It's peanuts in the hands of God. It's nothing. God is testing our heart. God is giving us, God is supernatural. It's not mathematical. It's super mathematical. He does things that mathematics cannot realize. And so the same in your life. And young people, the same in your life. You can go to any country in the world, not even knowing the language like I did. And then you move on and up. There is no stop when the Holy Spirit of God really is on you. May God bless us. That we, the people of God, are Christianity has become so concerned about doctrine. And this doctrine of the Holy Spirit is the most important doctrine we need to learn. We need to be under the power of the Spirit. We need to be controlled by the Spirit. We need to say, God, move me. And God will. Lord, thank you. And today you spoke your word to us. Help us not to sleep any longer. But help us to be evangelists with a good heart, with gentleness and kindness, knowing that we were there before, unbelievers. Help us to be kind and gentle to one another. Help us to be faithful to you. Cause us, America will change because the Spirit of God is changing the believers in America. Lord, we are trusting for senators and representatives and governors, and we're not trusting you. Lord, change America back to you. Change our people back to the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God. When I came in the 60s, oh Lord, give us back our country. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
What dare I do? God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
So you may stand with me, and we're going to pray. And then today is Fellowship Sunday. Hope you stay and have a good dinner with us. Heavenly Father, we talk today about this fundamental truth of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray that you give us the power not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That we as believers may be controlled by the Spirit of God, may be led by the Spirit of God, so that we may be a living witness of the peace and joy that God has given us. Help us to be loving, gentle. Help us to have those fruits of the Spirit living in us so the people around us may see something different, may see that God has took place in our life. And I pray not only for our church, I pray for the churches in America, that the pastors may encourage the people to be controlled by the Spirit of God so that America will be changed. I don't know how, but I know you change Israel over and over again each time that Israel came back to you. And so, Father, if we come back to you, you will not reject us. You will empower us. Oh, God, give the Christian the vision. It is the Spirit of God that will change America. It is the Spirit of God that will change my life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.